Hello and welcome back to the Wide World of Wargaming. As always, I am your host, Alex Gonzalez, with my fellow hosts, John, Garrett, and Jeremy. Today, we do have a special guest on the episode. We have Jack from the YouTube channel, Rerolling Ones. It's a great channel with some great battle reports as a part of it, all geared towards Age of Sigmar. So, as we are always in this episode, we are going to be reviewing a few events, or one event in particular, which is going to be the Champions Cup GT in Bellingham, Washington, that Jack and I actually went to. And to get started, Jack, what is on your workbench?
Hey, I just want to thank you guys for having me, and I am currently working on a steam tank. I've been really excited for Cities of Sigmar. I got to go into my collection and stuff that I've been hoarding and sitting in my closet for years, and I'm dusting it off and putting a pan of coat on it. Coat of paint, excuse me.
Okay, perfect. And, I do want to dive into that because I'm sure we're all very excited to really crack open that book, and a lot of us already have. But, Garrett, what is on your workbench?
Well, I've been cracking away on trying to get my Sylvaneth force going now that Nova's over, and I'm going right back into the second half of the ITC season. I got all my stuff built. I purchased and built the Endless Spell so I can get the Spite Swarm Hive into my list. And then I just got back my Spirit of Durthu from my friend who's painting, and I think it is really, really awesome looking. I'm really happy with his work. Spirit of Durthu is probably one of my favorite Sylvaneth models, but sadly, I probably won't be using him. So he'll be a great, trophy shelf kind of guy. If I were to play Living City, I might use him. I think he has a place there, but in a Sylvaneth list, he's just not really cutting it. I have been getting some games in with my Sylvaneth, practicing for Du Bois coming up. Got a game in today, and so real excited for that. John, how are things going with you?
Hey, Garrett. Oh, I tell you, my friend, it is a sad day here in the hobby room. I've just poured a glass, the last glass, as you will, of the Ain't Your Papa's Grappa old bottle number 12 of 100. So I'll be enjoying it for this episode, but after this, I'll have to find a new favorite. Besides that, I had a real busy week. I myself have my eye on the SoCal Open. So though I've been playing my Idenith Deepkin lately for the local league, I've switched back to my Skaven. Got in a good game against Sunny Wynn, local guy, with his Seraphon. Oh my gosh, he had the Mega Skink summoning list. I don't know how many hundreds of skinks he summoned during our game, but it was brutal. Fun, although I'm really glad I played that. That's a list to watch out for because I'm used to Seraphon not really doing much on the table, but boy, all those skinks, once they get some mass on you, there's no stopping them. Then I was able to get a second game in against a local player, Jim Yee. People might remember him from 40K fame. He was bringing his Heed Knights of Slaanesh. He brought four Keepers of Secrets and Hellstriders. That was a pretty nasty list. All I'll say is that for every two Keepers of Secrets that I killed, that gave him enough depravity points to summon another one. So I killed three of those Keeper of Secrets by the top of turn two, and then on the bottom of the turn, he summoned them back. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, it was pretty darn brutal. Other than that, I managed to get down to the Unhinged experience at the Winchester Mystery House, pretty badass haunted house. So if you guys, anyone's local to the Bay Area or find yourself traveling, I definitely recommend it. That thing was crazy. Anyways, that is my week. Jeremy, my friend, what have you been up to, Le Bogeyman?
Been plotting my appended victory for SoCal Open by reading the Cities of Sigmar book and the Orc Warkland book, just to get prepared for the new adversaries. And I'm Fire Slayers are fine. Like, there's nothing in that book that scares me, or either book, really. I think a best, shooty cities will be interesting, but
what about Bone Split is ignoring your
they get
shrug
better
saves
get from
your
3 plus save of reroll ones first with a no rend on their army. Yeah, so good luck on that.
Hey, stab is man. Stab is going to stab.
And they have one hero
strike,
with
they also strike
the
after my, craft, my blob, so I don't really care. So anyway, moving along, No, what's on my workbench right now? I'm trying to scrounge up some more Flesh Eater models to, you know, start finishing up my Flesh Eater lists. Because I would like, now that there's the meta has those Drachnon Bone Splitters and Shooty armies back in, it's the perfect time to play the army that's going to get completely destroyed by those two books for the next, like, 6 months. So, but yeah. I'm looking forward to SoCal a lot. It'll be nice to get to meet some old friends, especially you, John, since I don't really see you that often. And then some of the other, and then, you know, put the 40K people to shame with better painted armies than.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you as well, Jeremy. We don't get to hang out enough, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, how about you, Alex? What's on your workbench?
Oh, man. Like it has been the last few weeks, it is just nothing but Chaos Knights. Getting a lot of work done with that. Going to finalize it and throw them over to Pashby when I am done so he can paint them up and I can give him money. So that'll be fun. Besides that, yeah, dude, just kind of hanging out and preparing for SoCal Open, reading up on some of the new armies as well, as we are all well aware that we're going to see some combination of, you know, a lot of Iron Jaws, a lot of Free Cities, or Cities of Sigmar type armies out and about at SoCal Open. And, you know, we've already been talking to quite a few people about that and even talking about it in these episodes. Yeah, not a lot actually in terms of AOS. I'm really just preparing for the Ossark Reapers and kind of hoping they have good rules. I know that they released the preview for that, that kind of like general to the general, you know, or like a confidant to the general or a Mortark, that like dual kit between like the, I think they're called like the Claviles, like the named one. And then the like generic version, you know, the generic version just looks like a undeady samurai tomb king on a horseback. And then the named character is just like a Celestine on Drakoth, but like with bones.
Yeah.
Like the exact same pose too. So, yeah, not too creative, but you know, it's fun. It looks cool. But yeah, we do want to take a look and talk to Jack, have this conversation today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks again for the invite.
So Jack, yeah, you have this YouTube channel, and for our listeners out there, it's a great YouTube channel. It is called Rerolling Ones. You do a lot of really in-depth battle reports, and you know, you've had a lot of people on that segment or that show quite often. I know that you've had the main host of the YouTube channel that we've talked about quite a bit, the 2+Tough. You know, producers. So it's mm-hmm. great to see content creators working with other content creators. And, you know, even this last Friday, you and I got a game in for it that I'm sure will be uploaded soon. But tell us a little bit about Rerolling Ones. And, you know, if our listeners have never been there and seen your YouTube channel, what should they expect?
So I'll go with right now it's me, my friend Shu, and Brent. We're the kind of core three members. And the way we started the channel was we knew Doug, and he started 2+Tough, and we were just playing a Triumph and Treachery game, and it was actually pretty fun. And she was like, hey, what do you guys think about doing something not like Doug, because he had the lore stuff covered, but, you know, like a battle report channel, but not being taking ourselves too serious. The thing we wanted to do was get all the rules right. And that kind of immediately went out the window. We have a lot of sympathy for like mini war gaming and stuff, because you're playing different armies constantly. And sometimes you just, you know, you don't get the right rule. And I'm sure like most players understand that. And so we were kind of initially were going for that more serious tone, but we're not serious guys. And so we just went with fluffy narrative, just goofy games, stuff you don't usually see like at a tournament. And it kind of like caught on. You know, we do little sketches before each battle report. You know, just with, you know, I was a stand-up comedian for 6 years. And my other the buddies on the channel, Brent and Shu, they're funny guys. And we kind of just – it kind of happened organically.
Wow, yeah. And, you know, I've definitely been watched a few of your battle reports, and they are great. I really like the format, and you know, it's really helpful to see it kind of edited the way it is. You know, it's not just I've seen a lot of battle reports on YouTube, and I really like the fact that it's not just all like one frame, and it's not like in the live stream style format. Yeah. It's all very much like you see the people, you see the you know, what's really going on the table, and some good close-ups here.
Agreed. I'm not a huge fan of the stream style. It's just, you know, it's just not entertaining for me to watch, but that's just my personal taste. And I think, like, as a battle report channel, something I've noticed is it's mainly for newer players. Like, once you, like, I don't really watch a lot of battle reports anymore because, not saying, oh, because I know better, but it's just, you kind of, if you, especially you get into the competitive scene, as soon as you see something like, oh, why'd you do that? And like, and you kind of extrapolate what's going to happen in the game now. And so you don't really know, you can skip forward like, okay, that's what I thought would happen. And so we try to be make sure that it's a personality driven channel. That's kind of what it is. And so it's entertaining rather than just watching like a sport. We're watching like some people having fun play the game.
Yeah. And I really appreciated that too. You know, it's like one of my favorite parts of when we recorded our game this last Friday was that, you know, you wanted me to talk, you know, to the camera a little bit about what I was doing and what my plan was in that moment. It's like, okay, well, turn one, Jack, you completely nuked Lady Oleander and killed 2/3 of the Herodons round one. I got to do this. So I had to do this, this, and this. And if I get the double, I'm in really good shape. Mm-hmm. And then we play it out and we see what happens. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. Our game was a lot of fun. It was actually, you know, it wasn't perfect cause I won, but that made it even better, but it was just a really good, you know, a game that was back and forth. Cause some people do want to see competitive lists where like, if you play a competitive army versus a non-competitive army, it can be like a not very fun game. And if you match armies up tier wise, that's when you get to, you know, you don't have a blowout or something like that. And I felt our game was tit for tat. Even though I jumped out on that lead, that good lead, you struck back and got a nice double turn. And I had to like flee and just hope that I was able to kill your general so he can jump in the back and steal my stuff.
Well, I mean, even then, you know, in our game, and of course our listeners will be able to watch it on your YouTube channel shortly, but, you know, even then it was like, I think for a moment I thought that no matter what, I had already lost the game because we did play Total Commitment for our hosts and for our listeners out there. We played Total Commitment and, round one, because Jack chose first turn and just completely hit hard from the get-go, and I made a very decisive move turn two to capture one of my objectives and get some bonus points. But in the final turn, I would have tabled Jack, or at least brought him down to one model, maybe his general. But the problem was I wasn't going to be able to get all of my points by the time. I think you would have beaten me by 3 or 4 points. So it literally came down to, can I get a double turn on round five? Yep. And if I do, we tie game and I go for more destroyed for a minor win. If I don't, then you win by several points. And unfortunately, I lost that roll off for initiative. So yeah, it all went to you. Well, but it was a great game.
Well, karma, because I had that exact same situation happen to me at the GT we went to this weekend where turn five, if I win this roll off, I score and I win. If he wins a roll off, he can kill me and I can't score. And so things, it was like, oh, well, I deserved it.
So,
Jack, sorry for giving you the bad juju.
So, Jack, how many of your games are usually competitive, or is like playing against Alex kind of like a rare thing for your YouTube channel?
That's a rarity, honestly. Like you know, lists like Alex are a rarity on the channel, where it's kind of just like goofy stuff, you know. And like, there are people who are really into that, whereas like we're just not the right channel for competitive stuff. But some people are interested, and it's nice to show them this is out there too, because it's like it's a totally different mindset. And I think people are there's like this stigma that a tournament is going to be unfun, if you're not competitive. And like, I want to get to people like, that's not true. I've met some great people. I've had a blast. Sure. Like, it can be like stressful, and it can be like, usually when you lose, it's due to a lot of ignorance in the beginning. Like, oh, I did not know that could happen. But once you like get in the mindset, like, oh, this is going to like, and you actually have to try to be a good player.
Once you can know the gimmicks and tricks, and you can start looking to play against them. Because like what you were earlier saying, that like competitive players don't like to like watch battle parts. I agree with that. I know that whenever like new stuff sometimes comes out, I like to watch battle reports of not even competitive games. Like I'll watch, you know, some of the mini wargaming like narrative matches or challenge matches that aren't, you know, particularly, you know, tournament level competitive, just because sometimes I like just seeing how a certain unit performs. Like I don't care what the rest of the list is, or I do like that you guys are taking a entertainment perspective to the battle reports, because that definitely is what draws me in more than the actual lists themselves.
Appreciate it.
That's definitely how I would describe your what I've seen on your channel as well, Jack, is just like entertaining. That is an enjoyable and entertaining channel there. I noticed you have like 88 videos over there already. You guys are releasing, it looks like, is it a weekly schedule you're on, or is it just kind of
try to do one a week.
Try to do one a week. Got like over almost 12,000 subscribers on that channel. Like you, there are people out there really enjoying this stuff. I myself, I haven't watched all 88 videos, but I've sampled a share. And what I'm getting off is like, you do some funny characters. You got some good graphics, a little scenarios. You know, you talk to the audience, everything, right? It is like you said, it is a truly entertaining channel to watch, and I appreciate stuff like that. Now Jack, I gotta ask you though, my friend, you played Alex, right? And how did that game go? Do you think he played above the table? It was all played pretty straight and all that.
I think Alex did not live up to the reputation that has been told to me about him. He was a gentleman and a scholar, and yeah, I could read all his dice before he picked them all up. You know, he picked up misses instead of hits. It was all the rumors about Alex are sad to say not true. He's a great guy.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I must say, you know, as you probably don't know, I myself began playing Age of Sigmar because of some shady occurrences over in 40K. Not by myself, but a countering shady player. So I like to think that we don't have much or any of that over in the Age of Sigmar. And there's, you know, there's just certain players that we try to keep an eye on. So I appreciate the feedback there, Jack.
I think just it's like you can – people build up stories in their head and like you don't even like realize it. And just, you know, and it's not to get too into the behind the scenes stuff, but it's like you're getting to know these players. It's just like, we're all pretty much like the same kind of group of people. We're into the same thing. And I think it's just a different tribe or a different group. And then you kind of like, oh, they're not us. So they're the enemy or whatever. But it's like, you realize we're all just the same. We're into this hobby and we're just want to roll dice and have fun.
Well, I think truer words have never been said. I know I found this myself doing the same thing. You know, I met some or see some groups on the internet and like, oh, what are those guys doing over there? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. What's that guy, that champion guy? Oh, yeah. I hear he's a real douchebag. And then I go meet these people and they're wonderful people. They're entertaining. They're individuals. They have personality. I go meet these groups that I'm looking at from afar. And I'm like, every one of these could be my neighbor, could be my buddy. They're the exact same people I play at my local store. They just happen to be at a different local store. And except for Jeremy, I have yet to find Le Bogeyman amongst the competitive players that I've met. So, what do you think, Jeremy?
I do want to like backtrack on some of the record nowadays here. I heard this was a competitive game, but I'm pretty sure this was a semi-competitive game because, after all, it's Alex. Alex always lets his guard down in practice games. I don't know what, like, there's something about practice game for Alex. He just, like, I don't know. He just doesn't focus enough. So I just want you to know, Jack, you played Alex at half mode. Next time.
I am shocked right now that I would be talked about in such a fashion. But I will say, last time I played a practice game in front of Jeremy, he like I could see his face. He looked like he wanted to take my shoulders and just shake me. Be like, what are you doing? Why are you playing that way?
Well, I'll say more people will see this practice game than any other game he's played. For real.
So then when people see me, they're like, oh, that's big old softy. Boy.
A YouTuber? Come on, man.
He actually had notes on the side from a website, how to act nice.
Yeah. John, going on what you mentioned, you know, it's funny. Sometimes people's reputation can precede themselves too. I mean, at the RTT for Nova, I got paired up final round with Dutch Adams, a great guy, great player from the East Coast. And, you know, no one said anything bad about him, but people kind of went like, oh man, he wrecks face, man. He's super duper competitive, like cutthroat. Like, it's going to be a game for you. And like, we had a great time, you know, he was super fun, super nice, you know, super honest about like everything. And like, it was honestly one of the most like stand up kind of like games I've had ever, you know? So I was just like, you know, very much. It's one thing to hear someone hear about someone.
Yeah, but
it's a very
Dutch
much
Adam wasn't banned from 40K. Alex.
You actually get to play them on the table. Oh, you're right. My bad. Oh boy. My bad. You're right. I will say he got the double turn against me and then he went for the handshake and I went, whoa, hold on. You're going to table me, but this game ain't over yet.
That's a baller move though, right there. Right?
Jeremy move.
Get the double turn. Let's just end it right here. Get your, yo, half the opponents will cave at that moment. I got to admit, that's a pretty solid tactic.
It is.
That's some above the table play. And I met Dutch at the tournament too. Really friendly guy. Super nice. We only talked for about 5 minutes. He's a cool guy to me.
Oh, yeah. Sure. He probably just said, I had you at deployment and walked away.
Oh my God.
I had a friend who said he'd go up to like Magic, Friday Night Magic drafts. He'd like go up to the table and be like, GG, hold his hand just without even playing any cards.
I do have a story like that, and it actually involves Jack.
Serious?
But Jack basically did the reverse of that. He's just like, he made me win at deployment. So...
What?
Read your packet, ladies and gentlemen.
What is this? Well, honestly, I think I mentioned it in a previous episode, but basically,
wait,
for
what happened?
Cash B special.
We need the story. Now we need the story. He didn't read the packet.
Yeah. There's a big difference between places of power and places of arcane power.
Oh, yeah. You mean pre-GHB 2019.
So I do want to know a little bit more about what you're playing on building for Cities of Sigmar, because you know I'm probably going to have to play you, Jack, I need to know now so I can, you know, work at my all the scenarios in my head. I thought you were going
to
play Hedonites. I gave you a list.
I'll play that against you. You help everybody else out. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I do have Hedonites. I ordered a bunch of.
Oh, they're really ugly. I would try to find like third parties or like just like
they're pretty old.
Like, yeah, they're terribly ugly.
Yeah, I'm looking at them.
Well, you know, Jack did bring his Hedonites to an event at the local that Bellingham game store we'll talk about in a little bit, and I believe when I was there this weekend there was a big old trophy on the top of the wall of honor, and Jack is the store champion for
That's how good, you know, Slaanesh is. I just grabbed random stuff I had that was painted up, grabbed Archeon, some keepers, Shalaxy. And I went up there and became the store champion.
God,
there you go.
How many days has it been since Games Workshop hasn't nerfed that mechanic yet? Too fucking long. God damn it.
Yeah.
December, Jeremy. December. We're waiting.
2 more months. Oh, it needs something. It's honestly like, it's an army I got because it's one of my favorite armies, mm-hmm. Slaanesh. And I got it in the hopes that I could play with Brent and Shu from the channel. And it's just not an army I can play against him because it's not a fun casual army.
Well, just run no keepers of secrets.
I literally become I literally become concerned when anybody tells me that Slaanesh is their favorite army. I mean, Garrett, I know your brother, and now Jack is saying that he likes Slaanesh deeply too. There's another layer behind this man. I'm seeing friendly face, but there's something dark and evil going on behind those eyes. If Slaanesh is what attracts
you. Hold on, real quick. Garrett's brother is in school, and he's liked Slaanesh since well before Hedonites. Really, the only reason why Garrett's brother likes Hedonites is because he's a sexual deviant. But besides that,
right? That's my point.
He hasn't played a game at AOS in 2 years.
People I know.
From the when there the Juan Diaz Slaanesh models came out, it got me back into the game in the early 2000s. And I have like 60 of them, and I'm like, I'll use these again. But when I got into AOS again, like, there wasn't Slaanesh at the time. So I was like, and I've been waiting for it to come out. And they came out, and they're just a little too good right now.
Yeah. Boy, everybody references those Juan Diaz models, I tell you. Those models alone corrupted a lot of youth. That's all I
got to
say.
I don't know if I'm becoming a hipster, though, because, like, they're starting to like kind of feel like bacon to me, where, you know, like people, like, overemphasize how good it is. Like, they're okay. IPAs are disgusting. It's like IPA is the black licorice of beer. It is gross. Oh,
we had that discussion this weekend.
Yeah,
it was bad. Oh, my God.
Black licorice is delicious.
Yeah. Oof, it's an acquired taste. But with rerolling ones, before we jump into just this last weekend, are there any kind of upcoming things you're excited for, new content features, or any sort of previews you have for your channel?
So we have, I believe this week or next week, we have our game coming out. But as far as in the future, we are doing a something new. I got two of the Sisters of Battle figures while I was at Nova, and they're going to do a painting contest between Shu from our channel and a guy, Greg from Cranky Old Gamer. So we're kind of doing like a collaboration. Like you were saying earlier, it's good to see content creators teaming up together. So we're doing that with his channel. And we are each planning on doing a City of Sigmar. I was going to go to Greywater Fastness, but man, it's kind of disappointing. It's just like, man, these war machines aren't, they're not that impressive. I'm playing a shooting army now, and it's just like, I think my shooting is better than the Greywater Fastness. But I want to go Living City and pick up a Durthu or two.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a great idea. I was actually even trying to see if our executive producer could get convinced into playing AOS once I realized that the steam tank commander was a thing. I could say, Vince, you can actually bring a whole army of steam tanks. Why not? Mm-hmm. Come on, man, do it. Like, you won't. Truly, he won't, but that's not the point.
Play your tank company. You've always wanted to.
You can be our rerolling ones, Vince. Just do it.
Here's the thing. He is a diehard Bretonnia fan. So unless they come out with real Bretonnia, not Flesh Eater Courts.
Which is real Bretonnia.
And of course, as always, we do want to take a peek at an event that happened this previous week. And that was the Champions Cup Warhammer Age of Sigmar tournament in Bellingham, Washington. So, as active as the Pacific Northwest in the United States is, this is just one of many, RTTs and GTs that are very prominent in our area. And, Jack, the night before, you and I had that game for rerolling ones. And then early in the morning, we drove up on Saturday straight to the event. It was a lot farther north than I personally was expecting. I thought it was just going to be maybe 40 minutes north of Seattle, not realizing that it was like an hour and a half. Yeah. And I didn't know it was like a hard stone's throw to the Canadian border either.
Yeah,
so
very close to Canada.
Yeah, I remember getting out of your car and being like, ooh, this is some deep cold. Like, this isn't just like Seattle weather. Ooh. But, of course, we were preparing for the event. And, you are well aware of preparing for events, building lists, especially ones that are very competitive with your Seahawk chamber. Tell us what you brought to that event and how your day one was.
Okay. Yeah, it was the day started out kind of weird because my brother bailed on us. That was a lot of fun. So we my list, I switched it up. I like originally during first edition, I played Aether Strike Force. It was a lot of shooting Stormcast list. And so when the next book came out, I had all these shooting guys, but I couldn't run the same list as before. And then I noticed with the anvils of the Helmhammer, you can shoot in your hero phase. So I'm like, I'll just take all shooting and try to blow people off the board first. So my list consists of the Justicar Vanguard Conclave, which is Raptors and Aether Wings. And so I have 9 long strikes, a unit of 6 Hurricane Crossbows, and a unit of 3 Hurricane Crossbows, followed by 3 units of Aether Wings, which are great, especially when you don't tell John about them. And he kind of puts his Skaven right up there. He was like, oh, is that what they do? I'm sorry about that again, John.
Okay, I learned my lesson, and it's all worthy.
And so, they can interrupt people's movement in their charge phase. So they can't really, if you roll high enough, they can just, now you're in combat. So you can't charge, so I can get another round of shooting at you. But back to the list. I have the Lord Aquiller, so he can teleport the Vanguard Raptors. I have a Lord Relictor with another translocate spell. So my army is very, very mobile. And then this is the first time I took a Skink Starseer because I wanted a dispel. And I'd take 2 units of 10 Skinks just to try to get on objectives and screen if they have to. And then the Liberator tax, 3 units of 5 Liberators. And it comes at 2,000 points.
Perfect. And how did day one come up for you? You know, going there, getting there real early. You know, we had a super early start to our day, and yeah. It was in a quaint downtown Bellingham. How was day one?
Day one was started out very good, very good. So in the Pacific Northwest, we don't have a lot of Slaanesh players. So it's a very tough army, but I haven't got a chance to fight it yet. I've played it a couple times, but this is the first time I got to face Slaanesh. And I've always thought, well, I should be able to – my army's kind of tailor-made to beat them because I can target their heroes and kill their heroes. And it was one of those games like, hey, it went exactly how I thought it'd go. So I was able to kill all his heroes off, and then they kind of just fall apart after that. So that was actually a very enjoyable game for me because I'm like, okay, something I planned out in my head, and it went according to plan. The next game was against a teammate of mine, Jace. He has this kind of weird chaos soup list, and I have much more respect for endless spells now than I did before because it was a masterclass of endless spells, and it was a good game though. So I ended up going 2-1 on the first day.
Perfect. Yeah, and ready and ripe for of course the drinking of the Saturday night.
Oh yeah, we had a blast.
Garrett. What do you think about maybe the list Jack brought or maybe some of those matchups?
I did want to talk a little bit about that endless spell list. I think as people are getting deeper and deeper into second edition, they're starting to see the value of endless spells beyond their initial effects. I don't know if you were able to experience this, Jack, but what usually endless spell people see through this, where endless spells become ways of blocking charge lanes, blocking people from getting onto objectives. Like, it's like, screw, like, I see people bring an endless spell. It's like, screw what it does. It's just huge. Just literally, you can't get here because you just surround units in endless spells. You can't see through them. You can't shoot through them. Or you, like, so I do think that people should definitely be wary of the high endless spell lists because players who have those tend to be very good at where they play the spells and are really good at defeating players in just the movement phase. And I guess that's what you experienced. Can you explain maybe a little bit exactly what he did with the end of spells? I'd be curious to see.
So he had he was really good at using his wall to the prismatic palisade, because I was trying to sneak around to get one of the objectives. He put the wall up, put some shackles near it, and then he used a spell portal very well with the he had Kyle's Fate Reaver, and so he would cast his spell through the spell portal, then do damage to one of my big shooty units, and then a spawn would pop up in combat with them, and then I couldn't shoot with that unit now because they're in combat with the spawn, so I'd have to kill the spawn. And he also had a Bellicor, and Bellicor has that once per game ability where for one turn, if you try to use like shooting or movement or anything or attacking on a four up, you can't do it. And it just went off every time on that unit. And that was a huge thing. But yeah, he was able to use spell portal, shackles, prismatic palisades, the pendulum
pendulum
spell portal as well. And purple sun, that was 50 points, but I kind of backfired on him more because that was the one I moved back into some of his stuff.
Wow. Wow. You know, that is a heck of a list. You know, that is a lot of endless spells at once. And I had no idea. I thought Bellicor's ability lasted the whole game. Is it just one turn?
Yeah. It's just one turn.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, Bellicor is only allies to Everchosen. He's a demon of chaos. And the only people that can ally with demons of chaos is Everchosen. So you rarely see him unless someone wants to bring mixed chaos.
Yep.
Huh. Okay. Perfect. Well, you know, I also went to the event and, you know, I brought the same list I pretty much brought since Nova. You know, just a Shroud Guard with a big unit of Herodins and a specific combo of characters. You know, I've talked about it plenty on this show, so we don't really need to dive into my list in particular. But, you know, I really enjoyed seeing the spread of armies and players that they had at the event. You know, they, like you said, you know, there was a Hedonite player. Of course, your teammate brought mixed chaos. You know, there was Maggotkin. There was one other Nighthaunt player and, you know, Flesh Eater Courts for a while. But really, you know, it was just good to see an overall spread minus destruction. You know, there was, of course, one. Well, I believe there was only one destruction player. It was, yeah. I'm sorry, what?
There was one Iron Jaws player.
There was, oh, my apologies. Yes, there was an Iron Jaws and there was a Beast Claw Raider player. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and of course, I was actually matched up with Peter. Peter with his Beast Claw Raiders round one. Sorry. And so
this is how bad destruction is. Like, you're like, can't even count. Like, oh, yeah, there was like one, and there was like more, and there's obviously more than one. And it's just like, that's how bad destruction is. Like, nobody just, like, they're not even a challenge.
I think it was more of the.
I think
Yeah,
but I think that the big indicator is not that there was one, but that I was like surprised. I was like, oh, there was more than one. Oh, great. But you know, round one, I did play against Peter and his Beastclaw Raiders. It was really funny because we were bringing, you know, we were bringing both tables of terrain. So what I did for myself to make sure that we can ease the game, that the startup of the game, is I took all my dice that were white, including some of the Dark Tower dice that were given to us in our swag bags that we got, which were very cool. And, you know, I just, you roll the terrain dice with the white dice, whether it's my white BCP dice or the white Dark Tower Games dice. And if you rolled a four up, it was table two, and I left the six pip up next to the terrain piece. And if it was 1, 2, 3, it would be table A, and you just leave that one terrain dice or scenery dice by itself. So it would be an indicator as to what was level one and what was level two, a little bit more so than just, you know, a number. So that was pretty helpful. But on his side of the table, on Peter's side of the table, he had like three or four mystical terrain pieces on his side. He rolled for his side. I rolled for my side. He rolled a bunch of mystical terrain suddenly. So it was very advantageous for his turn one to get Alpha Strike by me, but have his entire army have mystical saves. It was a rough game for the Beast Claw Raiders. And my round two game, I actually think John and Garrett would have a lot of fun looking over because I fought against Skaven. I fought against Ranger Harris and his Skaven army. It had a big unit of Jazales. It had three rattling guns, a bunch of clan rats and storm vermin, and you know, some heroes. It didn't have a gray seer on Screaming Bell, and really that was the one recommendation I gave to Ranger. But you know, I was more terrified of his army than he may have been of mine, but I had a very lucky and advantageous double turn where I basically swept up everything but his battle line in one round. And and that was game very quickly, very, very, very quick game in that way. But, you know, the Vermin Lord Warp Seer in that game, decided to jump on Mystical Terrain again. So day one was filled with me trying to remove people off Mystical. And I fully covered the Warp Seer on Mystical Terrain, so he couldn't skitter away. But I think I did over 150 wounds to him, and he might have taken 3 wounds in total. Yeah. That's normal, right?
Yeah, I'm really liking this new Bone Splitter clan that just ignores shrug saves. It's just like, oh, you have multiple shrug saves as a, you know, Warp Seer? Meh. It's nope. You just have your reroll save. Go away.
Yeah. Yeah. It is very hard to move those guys. So I was very happy to be able to remove, not remove the Warp Seer off the table, but completely surround him with Revenants. So every turn I could just retreat and charge and be like, I'm going to do this for all 5 turns because I don't want him to be anywhere else than where he's at, you know, nowhere near an objective. But boy, was that an eye opener for me. So now I understand Jeremy's, frustration with the Warp Seer.
I mean, it was an anomaly. Somebody's dice go hot or cold, and all of a sudden you think a unit's broken. It's a perfectly reasonable unit. These anomalous stories are just
fake news.
I don't know, John. It's happened maybe too many times to be an anomaly.
In the great new world of Orc War Clans, with Bone Splitters, they ignore Shruk says, fuck you, Warp Seer. Got it.
Yeah, I was thinking of dropping him from my list for SoCal Open anyways. I'm looking at 240 monks on the table instead.
Woo-hoo-wee. Plus, you have a screaming bell, you have a good chance.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the definition of a tool.
Right. And then my last game of the day was against Carrie, one of your teammates, Jack, and it was her Maggotkin list. And, you know, with that one, it was, oh boy, what mission was it? It was, why can't I think of the name of the mission? The one with one objective in the middle and you have to hold the, focal points. Oh my God. So we played focal points and, yeah, there were a few eye-opening moments in that game. You know, Nurgle marked Chaos Knights made a charge. I had no idea that they were damaged 2 on the charge. And, you know, of course the Petulant Blade spell got cast on them. So they were a little rough around the edges for me from the get go, but very quickly bodies started to disappear. And, you know, Lady Oleander did something like 12 wounds, mortal wounds to Glotkin before I even got into combat with him. So that was fantastic for me. But, still, you know, it was a good game, and I had no idea that you could summon off of trees. That was an eye opener for me. So it was good to learn that because I had never seen an opponent do that before, and I thought that was a pretty smart move on her part. But yeah, that was my day one. Jack, how did day two go?
Day two was, I was only about 10% hungover, so that was nice. I expected it to be a lot more, especially as me, Carrie, Jace, and Dirk went to a nightclub for like 45 minutes in the middle of us just out bar hopping.
We were trying to find you guys. You guys just...
getting in the DeLorean and going back in time to my 20s. That was a lot of fun. They were even playing Usher still, so it was great. So we got there and was playing Hannah, who was probably 85% hungover, and she was playing Khorne, and I was able to Khorne's a pretty good matchup for me because I kind of just kill fast and just get on the objectives and just keep killing her. She didn't have anything that was really really too hard to punch through. And then the game that I was playing Matt K. In the Sylvaneth for the fourth game. And this one, I was really, really, really nervous because he's a great player. And I was able to, he didn't capitalize on a mistake that I made. And then I was able to capitalize on a mistake that he did make. And it's one of those games where everything goes your way. It's like, you just kind of like the dice are super hot and I'm getting all the crucial rolls. And he forgot that he can see flyers through his the trees, And instead of targeting my Aether Wings and killing them so I can't interrupt his charge so his Durthu could, you know, get into my stuff, I was able to just kind of fly in there with my birds and his Durthu couldn't charge me. It was the one, I think it was the Arcane Power. And so I killed all his characters and then kind of was, it was like game from there.
Oh boy. Wow. Okay. You know, Matt K's list is great. I was actually very surprised on, well, I was actually terrified of the list because I actually played him on round five as well. You know, just seeing Durthu and the Tree Lord Ancient and the Branch Wraith and nine Kurnoth Hunters is no joke.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was able to kill Durthu before they could do the thing where they can pile and attack twice. And so they were still really scary.
Oh, yeah. they definitely can be. Garrett, you mentioned trying to build your Sylvaneth. Do you have any sort of thoughts on this list? Or any sort of implementations or any units that you were thinking about adding to? Are you going to bring nine Kurnoth Hunters in one unit?
Not in one unit. I am bringing 12 Kurnoth Hunters.
Ooh, okay.
In three units. One unit of six Sword Hunters and two units of three Bow Hunters.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like having a unit of nine Kurnoth Hunters and not having an Arc Revenant seems like a crime.
He had an Arc Revenant?
Yeah, okay, I thought he didn't have an Arc Revenant. I was looking at his list and I was like, so you're having a unit of nine Kurnoth Hunters that can get a plus one attack from anywhere on the table just by having an Arc Revenant. It's like,
No joke, though. I thought the exact same thing halfway through my game with him, because I played him around four. He mentioned, oh, my Arc Revenant is in reserve. And I look at his list, and I'm like, he doesn't have an Arc Revenant. And then I look at it again. I'm like, oh, crap, it's right there. I'm blind. Cool. Oh, that's totally on me. Yeah.
But if I'm going to bring Durthu in a Sylvaneth list, I think I'd give him the Ethereal Amulet, honestly, to keep him alive. I haven't played a ton of Sylvaneth. I'm sure this guy knows better than me, but I'd rather give the Frozen Kernel to like an Arc Revenant who's going to be faster and can redeploy and have Durthu with an Ethereal Amulet. But I mean, as I was saying earlier, I just don't know if Durthu is that great for his points. He has the shooting attack of one Bow Hunter unit and his melee attack is 3 to 5 attacks. So it's like he's very swingy and I feel like Kurnoth Hunters can just do his job better for cheaper.
I agree with what you said earlier about if he's in Living City, that Durthu,
yeah,
is like, you can get him that 2-up save
with the plus one to wound. Yeah.
It's like, ooh, that's got me going.
And then with the ambush and move command trait, he's more reliable because you just ambush him and then shoot and then use a command point to move him after shooting. So that means he's only 4 inches away to charge. So
can't you just do that?
Keep him safe, get him into combat fast. And he could be really good in Living City, I think. But no, because you need to shoot to be able to move.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you don't really want to be charging with Bow Hunters.
Bow Hunters, yeah.
But, I mean, also with Durthu, you can give him the command. You make him your general and give him the command trait. So he has that plus one save, plus one to wound with all of his attacks. So he's threes and twos now, and he has a 2-up save. So it's like the Ethereal Amulet is kind of meh when you have a 2-up save. So it's just like, just go murder people.
Yeah.
But in Sylvaneth, it's like, I'd rather have two units of Bow Hunters and just shoot people from 30 inches away. Or I'd rather have a unit of six Sword Hunters instead of Durthu, because they'll, like, 400 points of Hunters will do more either ranged or melee damage than Durthu, and he has 12 wounds and they have 30. So it's like, it's just hard to see him in a Sylvaneth list.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
what's
up?
No, he answered my question. I just remembered. I was like, well, what's in your list? Well, you already went over that.
Yeah, you know, the Matt Cage list, though, it was really great. I fought against him around four, and I was also minimally hungover, surprisingly not as hungover as I thought I would be. You know, I was able to crash with Mike Hammond. He was nice enough to let me crash at his place. So, you know, couch surfed, then got up and started the games anew. And, you know, the 9 Kernoth Hunters really terrified me, and he was able to get a lot of board control with his you know, with his trees very quickly. But he started spreading his army out against me and really just putting all of the Kernoth Hunters and the Spirit of Dirthu and the Tree Lord Ancient all on one side of the table, which made things a little tricky in terms of, because we were playing shifting objectives, and the objective kept the priority objective kept on landing on the side that I was most prominent on, which, you know, just like at Nova when I played against Matthew and lost at shifting objectives, I lost for the exact same reason. You know, it just, I didn't like spread out properly, and then it kept on falling on the side he was on. So, you know, it was a great game, but I thought it was really funny. 20 Dreadscythe Herodons who had a -1 to wound against them, where they went up against Dirthu and the 9-man unit of Kernoth Hunters. And Dirthu was able to activate the instant attack twice. The spirit or the Arch Revenant wasn't on the table, so he didn't have a +1 to hit. But with the double activating Scythe Hunters, he only did 8. I only lost 8 girls out of 20. And I
were they also at -1 to hit from your bravery debuffs?
No, because of Dirthu's bubble for +1 bravery, I wasn't going to be able to bring them below 6. So. That wasn't happening, but I did use a command point to reroll ones for armor saves. So I only lost 8 from the double activation. It was 5 from the first activation. No, 3 from the first activation and 5 from the second. But Dirthu comes swinging in with his big dick and like does 12 damage immediately to me. And I save enough of them to just have two Herodons left. And from there, the unit just doesn't recover. But, immediately I was like, oh crap, Dirthu's got to go. So she was terrifying. How did your final game go?
That was against Matt K.
So oh shoot, that was Matt K.
Props to Matt K. Oh, you can do that. So.
Of course, how would we have played him at the same time? What am I talking about? What am I doing? Oh man.
How was your game in the finals?
Oh, I bet he can. He's a skilled player.
He lost against both of you, so he didn't pull it off.
Yeah. The opponent, there's so many Matts. The other Matt who played Stormcast, who you played in the finals, I was playing him in my third game, and that was a thing where I was way too overconfident. Because I'm like, what is this list? Paladors, what? And I'm like, Hunters? Okay, I got this. And that was the game where I needed to win that last roll off so I could score. Whereas he won the roll off and he was able to get me off the objective. And that was like, oh, never don't underestimate your opponent. Just
yeah, that's very true, especially in AOS. Yeah, my final game was against that same individual, Matt D, and it was a great game. He also got best painted. For those who have taken a look at some of the photos from the Dark Tower Games Facebook page, he had a gorgeously painted white and purple Stormcast army, and you know, he had a lot of units I wasn't expecting. You know, he had a Knight Zephyr, and I had never encountered a Knight Zephyr before. You know, he also had 2 units of Paladors, Knight Azeroth, Gabriel, Lord Aquilor, and Vandas. And last time I had played him, I had totally forgotten or just chose to forget how Vandas was, and wasn't expecting him and 2 Concussors to do a bunch of mortal wounds to me. And, you know, he brought the Concussors, Retributors, Vanguard Paladors, and, you know, of course, it was a Hammers of Sigmar Stormcast army. You know, I told him after our game, you know, it's going to be really advantageous to maybe just have that extra 50 points for an extra command point, if, you know, because he was a high drop army and having just that extra CP would have been huge. But playing on focal points with that mission and beating him on drops, basically meant that I was able to cover the board on round one with all my heroes and prevent him from trying to prevent him from coming around and getting me. And when he responded to me hopping on all the objectives, he wasn't able to push me off, which essentially was game. But he brought up a really important thing. And I think it actually came up, Jack, with a discussion that you had with him. And we had discovered before the game, I believe the day before, the night before when we were drinking, but you can't teleport onto the objectives and focal points as a hero and actually score the objective.
Arcane power, places of arcane power, not focal.
Places of arcane power.
Yeah, my bad. Places of arcane power. You can't teleport on the objectives as a hero and actually score the objective.
We got to move, do a normal move. It's not a retreat.
Normal move, pile-in move, or charge move.
Yeah.
Okay. Normal move is not a retreat. So you can't. So like one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is like you can charge like or you have to kill the guy who originally had it. And so like I think what people forget is that like you can charge in with a big unit and then the hero. Have the big unit kill the hero and then have your guy like, well, I charge this turn, pile in, take the objective.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little combo.
Look at that. That's a pro tip by Garrett. Perfect. Well, you know, at the in the end of the day and end of round two, it was myself in first place. So it was my first GT win of the season. Thank you, Jeremy, for not showing up. and then Carrie got second place with their maggot can, and Matt D, who I played for all the marbles, got third place and best painted. So it was really great to see such a spread of armies. You know, there were two Fire Slayer players there even too, not to the same type of list that Jeremy has, but it was good to see variations in a Fire Slayer army for sure. And for anyone who is ever going to the Pacific Northwest, check out Dark Tower Games. They are they're a fun group of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can drink anywhere in the shop now.
Yeah. Taking a look at some of the lists, some of the final standings. Jeremy, John, do you guys have any thoughts?
No, not particular, man. It was just digging in, listening to you guys' tale of the tape, as it were. Sounded like
Jack's 20-year-old self when we're in SoCal.
I'll have to drag you up there with me.
I'm looking at flights right now. I'm like, can I leave on Monday and be back to work for Monday? Oh my goodness. Wow. Congratulations, Alex.
Major.
You deserve it. You're a great major. Player. And so you're going to move up to number two because the boogeyman hasn't done a GT yet, right? Or you need
I get two shots at it. I get SoCal and LVM.
He's in like fifth place with four events. Gary.
Well, SoCal's already a major.
Yeah, it's there already a major.
But if he goes 0-5, you'll still be in second, Alex.
There we go. So we just got to like get him real sick. We got to make him channel his 50-year-old self or 60-year-old self during the night before. So we'll see if he can do that. So we'll do the opposite.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you right now, 50-year-old self ain't slowing down. So
yeah.
So are you going? What are you bringing?
It's a number greater than one.
Because I believe you won.
I am considering like taking something else, but I'll probably stick to my Fire Slayers. Just
it's seven.
It's just the way it is, but I would like to. I want to practice some my Iron Jaws in the Big Wall. I really want to practice those, and I want to finish my Flesh Eater court list because I've been waiting for this Cities of Sigmar book to drop to finish my Flesh Eater court. Because I like to play that army now that it's basically going to get has multiple counters in the meta because I think it'll be fun. Like, you know, winning with an army that shouldn't be winning. That's usually my mantra. We'll see. Well, and then I used to win with Fire Slayers before they got updated, mm-hmm. which was even more hilarious.
Well, you already got that win with Sylvaneth anyway, at that.
I'm looking forward to SoCal. It's gonna be tons of fun, and I'm just looking forward to like some of the East Coasters that are gonna go there. And then I'm looking forward to have a grudge match against the head of Team Trump Hammer, which is. Since I played him one time at LVU, I would like to play him again. So, yeah.
Well, he will be there. So, yeah. Cool. Well, you know, it is going to be a fun time at SoCal Open. The only person who is not going to be there, who is on this episode today, is going to be Garrett. So poo-poo on Garrett, but that's all fine and
hey,
dandy.
Sorry. Wedding anniversaries are a thing.
Yeah, so is taking your wife down on a Southern California San Diego vacation.
She sees right through that. I mean, like I travel to tournaments for a living, so she knows. She sees right through that bullshit. She's
You don't make it a bullshit. You make that part of it.
Yeah, you purposely buy her a spa day.
Go to the tournament, and it's surrounded by a greater weekend that it doesn't matter that you played in the tournament because of all the other awesomeness. How long have you known me, Garrett? You know how to play this game.
Maybe not for my first anniversary. Second.
First anniversary, we let it slide. But by five, motherfucker,
all right.
You know how this is supposed to go.
I just got to get Reese to have SoCal Open be like early November, so I can just be like, yeah, it's 2 weeks out of the anniversary. There's like no question now.
Oh man. Well, you know, I think that'll come with age, right? That the finesse and experience that John has doesn't come overnight. Doesn't happen in 1 year here. So that's a great idea, though. You know, honey. Got you a great package. We're gonna do this. You're gonna go horseback riding, spa day, Del Mar, beautiful. You'll be at the beach. It'll be great.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna spend 2 days at a tournament. No big deal. And
I got some business to do. Right? I got it. It'll be for work. It'll be for work.
I can't use the work excuse anymore. She knows. No. She knows all about that one.
No. You got to hook up spa days while you're tournamenting.
Exactly. Yeah.
Spa days while you're tournamenting. Though, Alex, for my wife, a little horseback ride for the day. That's happened a few times when I've been at tournaments too. So that's always a solid.
Real quick before we wrap up, John, is Donna going to be playing at SoCal?
I could not convince her to go and play at SoCal. She's going to hang out, and then she is going to enjoy a spa day, and she might go horseback riding.
Perfect. Wonderful. Great. Well, Jack, we certainly do hope that you are able to make it to SoCal. It'll be a great time to party with you. Let me know if you do end up getting a flight, because I think right now me and our good friend Paul are looking for hotel rooms. So,
No, that's covered. You guys are taking the spare bed in my room.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
That's what Paul and I agreed on over the weekend. You actually don't have to necessarily take that bed, but that's what I offered to Paul.
Okay. Well, either way, let me know if you end up getting a flight. So, and also, of course, thank you for being on this episode tonight. And for our listeners out there, you can watch me get my butt kicked by Jack at Rerolling Ones. Is there a particular URL we can plug?
Rerollingones.com.
Perfect. There you go. Simple and easy. And as always, thank you for listening tonight. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Be sure to leave us a review on Facebook and Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Like always, this is Alex, Jeremy, John, Garrett, and our good friend Jack wishing you a good evening.
We'll see y'all next week for our big focus on the SoCal Open episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. You know, stay frosty, and I'm going to make plenty of clips of Alex losing terribly so I can show it to him in the middle of tournaments.
Okay. Well, I still need to find a costume for SoCal, too. So that's also incoming.
Oh, I got a costume, by the costumes? Way. Mm. Yeah. Oh, it's Halloween weekend.
It's Halloween weekend.
Right, you got to go now, Jack, right?
My costume is tight and will match my army, so that's all I'll say.
Oh, that's awesome.
You guys have a good night.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.